Brain Candy Podcast, episode 806.
Hello.
Susan and Sarah.
Oh, that was a good one. Hi, Susan.
Greetings. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Hanging in there.
Okay. Yes. That's all we can do.
That's all we can do. Yeah. I've been trying to like move again and get back to working out. And that's been...
I know. I was like, she's stretching.
I did so much stretching. I went to a yoga class that I thought was like going to be a beginner class. And the beginner person like didn't show up. So I just did like the higher level class and I survived and it was fine. And then I was still feeling like I need like something restful. So I signed up for what I thought was candlelight yoga that evening.
Oh, Lord.
It was not candlelight yoga. It was just a candlelight another version of the C2 class that I already did.
No.
So I did two of the hard classes in one day. And I was like, I'm here. I might as well.
What is the point of the candles if it's not
That's
for
what
like,
I was thinking.
Yeah.
It was just at 8 p.m. So they called it that. And I was like, there weren't even any candles.
It's just vibes?
Yeah, it was just vibes. Thank you, Susie.
So dumb.
It's so dumb. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. And I was so tired. So I did like 6 workout classes in like 4 days. I was just...
Oh, man.
Just
alive.
Filling up my schedule with it.
Mm. All right. Well, yeah. It was your goal.
So, you know, just got to do it. I'm making up for lost time, I guess.
Stretching up a storm over there. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, I went to see Maria Bamford with my friend Matt Neroni. Had a blast.
Man. Was she great or what?
It was really remarkable. I felt it was extraordinary. It really was.
She's a real talent.
It feels like she's not even a person.
Yeah,
like,
tell me about
so
that.
It's so good that you just think, we're not the same species.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
My brain cannot do that. Whatever it is that you're doing, I can't
do it. And
she's
so fast.
So fast and fearless. She does not care if something's like not working. She'll like keep going.
Yeah. Oh, that's so
great.
Good.
Yeah,
I'm so glad you liked that.
We had a good laugh and I hadn't seen Matt in a long time. You know, when you go out with somebody you haven't been with in a while, but like, they're you like your family.
Yeah.
So then you just like kind of like when we get together.
Yeah. It's just pick up right where you left off. It's easy
breezy.
Yeah,
good times, great oldies. Yeah.
I love that.
Yes, but here we are. We're back doing our thing.
Yeah.
I'm trying to persuade Sarah to go on an exotic vacation.
Yeah, look at that. My boss is telling me, get the heck out of here.
My boss. Yeah, right.
And go leave. Yeah, I think I need a little like time in the sun.
Yes.
And my mom's tempting me with a mm-hmm. trip to Costa Rica.
Yes.
And I feel like the ocean is calling.
I think that too. It's like Moana, you know?
Oh, don't even get me started. Every single time I go to Costa Rica, I sing the song. I do the whole, I'm like, I've been staring at the edge of the water. Yeah, like that's exactly what I do.
That is so funny.
But now I feel like I relate more to like the grandma.
Yes. Like the weirdo voodoo.
Yes. Yeah, that is, I was like the people think I'm crazy, but.
Yeah,
I don't even care.
Yeah.
Like that, I'm going grandma vibes, where she's just like playing in the water and just like big old tummy hanging out, gives no fucks.
No fucks.
Love it.
Love it.
So this sounds great. And I've been craving. This sounds like weird, but mm-hmm. I have been like, I need to go fishing.
Oh, boy.
I think it might be because of you talking about the fish, all the fish and stuff.
About the nightmare fishing trips I've been on.
I'm like, that sounds great. I should do that.
Yeah, Sarah got the itch from that.
Yeah, I just have this calling. It's like, you need to go and you just need to like cast a line in the water and like catch your own food for a day or two.
Good grief. I could actually see you doing that fly fishing, like with the waders.
Yes, that's what I want to do. And one of my favorite things about it is with fly fishing, it's the beautiful art of tying the flies. Like the flies are... beautiful. In fact, there's a story that I don't have all the bits and parts of it together. Maybe I'll get it for the next episode. But one of the biggest art heists in history was the theft of these very rare fly, like ties, like these fly ties.
Why would
ties.
Anyone steal that? Art heist.
It was there's a whole story. I'm going to get the story and I'm going to tell you the story on the next episode because there's a whole reason. Like the guy, I want to say he was like on the spectrum and there was like, there are very many, like there are different, a lot of layers to this story. And
clearly.
And And he felt like, oh, well, nobody's looking at them or nobody's visiting this section, so I'm going to take them. And like, it's a wild story. But
it must be.
Yes.
But I could picture you doing that. And yes. I do feel like waiters are just like, they're like overall adjacent.
100%. Why right. do you think I love snowboarding? Because I get to wear overalls. Like, yeah. I want any activity where I could be wearing overall. I'm wearing them today. Outfit. Hello.
Yes. You look so cute.
Yeah. It's like my uniform. Okay.
Well, we'll see. Keep us posted on your fly fishing hobby.
Yeah. The river runs okay. through it.
Anything else you want to cover before I dive into brains and candies?
Ooh, let's get into brains and candy.
Okay. I watched on Apple TV the Charles Schulz documentary. He's the creator of Peanuts.
Yeah.
I mean, Sarah, when I tell you I ugly cried.
Really?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I can't wait to watch this.
You know what? When it sneaks up, like, you just think yes. you're going to watch something like, oh, this is cute. Right. And the next you're thing like, you know.
Yeah. Balling.
Knee deep in Kleenex. Oh. I mean, it was so moving. Here's why.
Yeah.
Charles Schulz, I was just not familiar with what he was all about. He died in, like, 2000. But this is a fella who people describe as sort of embodying, you know, Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
This sort of like insecure, not confident, a little bit shy. Yeah. And so he's just like a sweetie pie and really kind and caring. And then people would say like all of the characters sort of had elements of him, you know, yeah. Linus was very philosophical and Lucy is so
I love her.
Naughty.
Psychiatrist, just soapbox psychiatrist.
I mean, she was a real sass.
Real sassy.
I mean,
please. That was of... like inspiration.
Yeah. Well, because like, we all I need don't see a the touch problem. Of that.
Right.
You know, putting people in their place, I suppose, but I just thought this is a really sweet person and he was just so devoted to these characters. And even when he was sick with cancer, like he would continue drawing them and his lines got shakier. And I just never thought about what it would be like to be a cartoonist and then to have to worry about like the steadiness of your hand and a lot of things can, you know, just aging makes right. people less agile and stuff. It was so moving. I highly recommend it.
What was the catchphrase that Charlie Brown had?
Good grief.
Good grief. That's it. I kept on wanting to say, oh, bother. And I'm like, no, that's Eeyore. The wrong sad guy.
Mm-hmm. And good I grief. Am a big fan good of good grief, as you know. Good grief.
Good grief. What a great phrase.
Great phrase. My favorite oxymoron. Also.
Yeah.
And
it is your favorite.
It is. It's such a funny phrase. That what does that even mean?
Right. Good grief. Right. What does that even mean?
And then Snoopy, he's such a rascal.
Yeah.
Like always in the fantasy world, like going flying and all that jazz.
Well, this sounds like a perfect opportunity to post some pictures of me when I was in second grade and I was Woodstock in Your Good Man Charlie Brown. the play and it was all fifth and sixth graders and Sarah.
Wait a minute, how old were you?
First or second grade? First, like kindergartner first. I was so and I was cute. Just Woodstock and all I the only lines is I sang and then I went tweet 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 and that was it.
I bet you were so good.
Seuss. It nailed is it. The cutest. The costumes. And you have to imagine, my mom's a wardrobe stylist. You know I had the cutest costume, this yellow suit with like the little like feather mohawk.
Tights?
Yes, of course. Oh, bright yellow. I have all the pictures right over there. I'm going to get them and I will post those pictures because they are very funny. And I've been meaning to go to that album because I got to post pictures from my Coachella days.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started about that.
You're right.
I'm so appalled.
Yeah.
I suppose you were Woodstock before you had any tattoos, but...
Yes.
If she had tattoos, she would have been using Mad Rabbit. Am I right?
Absolutely. And did you see the video that I did the other day on Instagram, because I really wanted to show people what it looks like when you take care of a tattoo, when you right. put like the right stuff on it.
Mm-hmm. Big difference.
It changes how your tattoos look. It's like, I don't know, it's like getting highlights or like putting on makeup or like mm-hmm. something like that. Like, it freshens them up. They look so good. And it keeps them lasting long. That keeps them protected from the sun. And I love, they're clean, they're natural. It doesn't have, a lot of those products have mineral oil in them that just sit on top of your skin, clog your pores. It's really not good
yeah,
for
that's
you.
Gross.
Or they make you feel really sticky.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff hydrates, absorbs right into the skin, smells amazing, not sticky, all clean, all natural. Love.
Wow. Yes. And they have a whole line. They have, if you're about to get a tattoo,
yeah.
if you're a tattoo artist, if you have a tattoo you want to keep looking nice and revitalize an old one, they have everything you need and just really high quality stuff. And they have a deal for us. Now's the time to try out Mad Rabbit. They've preserved over 3 million tattoos and they've got an exclusive offer just for Brain Candy listeners. If you go to madrabbit.com/braincandy25 and use promo code braincandy25, you'll receive 25% off. That's 25% off when you head to madrabbit.com/braincandy25 and use promo code braincandy25.
Yes. Yeah. We spend so much on them and then we don't take care of them. It's silly.
Yeah. Can you imagine if like my dad were still living and I gave it to him and he'd be like rubbing all
oh, yeah.
on that tattoo of the limousine.
Yeah. He'd take good care of it.
He would work out. And then what would it be, Sarah? A stretch.
A stretch limo.
Okay, moving on. I learned about a man. You may have already heard about him, but I had not. And it's a funny story, so I want to tell you about it. His name, he's from Japan, is Shizo Kanakuri. And he has the, I guess it's a world record, for the longest amount of time to do a marathon.
What, so, the longest amount of time it took him to finish?
Yeah.
One?
Yeah.
Now there's a record I could get behind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Me too. I was
okay.
like, I could give him a run for his money.
Yeah.
No pun
uh-huh.
intended.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So the story goes that he's this excellent marathoner and he was in, this, I guess it's the Olympics. It was in Stockholm, Sweden. Mm-hmm. It, for some reason, this was at the turn of the 20th century, but it took 18 days for him to get there. I don't know what the hell was going on, that by boat or something.
Jeez.
So it took forever for him to get to Stockholm. And so he was weary from the journey. And also his coach had tuberculosis. And so the coach was like, not really, his heart was not in the training process.
Right.
And so Shizo did not get a proper pre-race training situation. And then also there was some sort of heat wave happening at the time. And so there were several, I think there was a dozen or so runners who couldn't complete this
Jeez.
Marathon. They were like dropping like flies. Actually, I shouldn't make a joke about that because one of the runners actually did fall and then die. And it was the first fatality of the Olympics ever.
What?
I hope
that's actually
the last.
A really good. No, remember the
no?
The guy in the bobsled, a couple. Oh, God, it makes
what
me
happened?
Sick thinking of it.
He flew off?
There was a major crash. There was a course, I want to say it was Whistler or like in the Olympics in Canada.
Really?
And there was a really dangerous turn that a lot of people crashed on. Does this ring a bell?
No.
Oh, and there was one person who got thrown and I'm pretty sure he died.
That is hideous.
Yeah. Oh, that makes me sick. Now I want to look it up.
Yeah, look it up. Okay, so you can, just from knowing what I've told you, this is obviously a heck of a heat wave. And Shizo, he just couldn't do it. Mile 16, he was like, this is not working out. He had hyperthermia, and he stumbled off the course into this garden party.
What?
I got like off the trail of the marathon. He like stumbled off and he ends up in this garden party and he starts chugging orange juice for an hour. and just to like deal with the hyperthermia.
Oh my God.
And then he was so ashamed that he like failed to complete the marathon that he just like left and never checked in with the Olympic committee, you know, said, hey, I'm dropping out. He just disappeared. And so it became this running joke in Sweden where they actually filed a missing persons report and it was open for 50 years.
What?
And then, everyone knew where he was. Right, it was right, a gag.
Yeah. Got it.
But a journalist went to Japan and was like, hey, what if you completed the marathon?
Yes.
And so he's like, okay. And he came back 50 years later and he did it. And afterwards, he went to that same garden party area and drank orange juice with like the kids of the party people from before. And his official time was 54 years, 8 months, 6 days, 5 hours, 32 minutes, and 20.3 seconds between when he started the marathon and when he completed it. And he said, it was a long trip. Along the way, I got married. I had 6 children, 10 grandchildren. And so he
I like that he could
record.
Be lighthearted about it. And
I know. Why was he shameful for
well,
a minute?
Well, I could see that's like, and he's from Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah, you this is cultural. Yeah, yeah, that, and probably in a moment of weakness or maybe personal strength, if you're saying I need to put my needs first and not do this race and hydrate
and not die,
then you know, maybe he thought I did something that was for me and I feel ashamed that I put my needs first rather than representing my country, and now I'm gonna kind of hide out. And
yeah, but he's very good at marathons otherwise. Like, he was in the Olympics other times and it was fine. This was just like a bad scene, I guess.
Yeah.
Even
sounds
the winner,
like it.
Yeah, like the winner of the marathon was like, this was a travesty. This was, you know, maybe they should have postponed. Do they ever do that?
I entered a triathlon that was postponed once because of extreme wind. Because it was a swim in the ocean. And they were like, it's too dangerous to have everybody out there in the ocean today. And I will say, when I arrived, I was fucking thrilled. It was the first triathlon that I was going to do with my ex-husband. And we were just in different mindsets that morning, you know?
Was he disappointed that it was canceled? Or was he like, thank God, let's go eat?
I think he was thank God
yeah.
too.
Yeah. I can't imagine anyone being like bummed out.
Yeah. I think I was a little bummed. Like, I mean, maybe a little, but I think I was more in like the casual, like, we're just going, it's like no big deal, who cares, we're gonna go do this race and then we'll be done. And when you do so many challenges like I've done, and you do the kind of, I'm like, oh, it's not overnight, oh, there's not a portion where I have to stand on a log for 6 hours or eat testicles.
Yeah.
Oh, I get to eat a power bar whenever I feel like it. Oh, there's water. Oh, I'm great, I don't care, let's go do it. I could do this on a fucking Tuesday, no problem.
Wow.
And he was like, you're not taking this seriously. And blah, blah, blah. I'm sure it was like that. I think it was like that. I was like, I don't give a fuck. Like, woke up late.
So wait, did they reschedule it?
Yeah, I think so. I think
we did
it. Yeah.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure.
How do you not know for sure?
Because I did a bunch of them back in the, I did a few
triathlons?
Of them.
Triathlons?
I would do like the sprint triathlons, like not the full length ones, but just like the ones that are like half mile swim. You know, it's like half distance.
Right. Okay.
And they're
well,
fine.
Let me tell you, if I did one, I'd know for sure. Everyone would be sick of hearing about it, as a matter of fact. Okay. And I also feel like the Olympic people there's some overlap between people in the World Records Organization. And,
well, yeah.
Like, they're sticklers. You know what I mean? So I feel like maybe
and
they don't postpone
kinda,
very easily.
Yeah,
in the Olympics.
I could see that. And to solve the mystery of what happened in that Olympics.
Tell me.
I was right. It was in Whistler, British Columbia, and it was a fatal crash in a training run that was the day of the opening ceremonies. And it was a Olympian luge athlete from Georgia.
That is horrible.
Yeah.
I am so sad about that.
And they showed it. Like, you saw it. Like, that was the part, is that there were thousands of people watching.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yikes.
2010.
Did we talk on the show about how mad I am that, like, Olympians don't have health care afterwards?
What?
Like, to me, it's like the military, where, like, once you do it, then you should be able to go to the, like, the Olympic hospital, like the VA.
Right. And they should have that.
The only reason I even know this is because that Mary Lou Retton, America's sweetheart, fell ill, and then they had to do a GD GoFundMe because she didn't have health care.
Oh.
Mary Lou.
Well, and the other thing is, when I remember when I applied for health insurance, and I was like going through that process of picking it and everything, and even like filling out the claims or the submitting the stuff I needed after any kind of like accident, they ask if the injury took place while participating in any professional sports or in any extreme sports. So if I choose to go rock climbing and I have an accident, they say like rock, like sometimes insurance, there's certain activities. Like if you are engaged, like entering in a like a BMX race, like insurance can be like, nope, we don't cover that. Because
do they know about your POW habit?
My what POW habit? Oh, I think they're okay with that.
Why?
I think it just can't be one where it's like professional or organized, like you're like a competition. Competing. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But like regular recreation is fine.
Wow.
I'm sure everyone is different, but that's what it said on mine. And that's, I was like, wow, none of the things that I used to do would count. Like if I got hurt on the challenge and I came home and was like, and they were like, oh, how'd you get this injury? And I was like, well, I signed up to jump off of buildings and I was, you know, dangling off of a 60-story building and
I signed a waiver.
And I signed a waiver. They're like, no.
You're a moron.
You're a dummy. Yeah. Sorry. Here's the bill.
Wow. Ah! So. Well, I'll tell you what bill is worth paying, and that is wild grain, because holy heck, this bread is from another world.
Breads are not created equal.
Yes. The pandemic, you know, all you weirdos making sourdough, they actually did it and then made a business out of it. And it's like the best bread you ever had. Pasta, pastries.
Yeah.
Oh, have you had their macarons?
No.
I mean to tell you, I really believe it's better than the ones I've had in Paris.
Oh, I believe that.
Because you know how you get them? Sometimes they're like stale and weird. Yeah.
And then sometimes I'm like, I just paid $3 for what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are outrageous. They are so good. We had them as like a little young Sheldon viewing snack, as our family does each night. But anyway, it's baked from frozen subscription box with all this stuff. You can do like customize whatever you want in the box, and you just bake it up from frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. And for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box plus free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/braincandy to start your subscription. You heard me, free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/braincandy. That's wildgrain.com/braincandy, or you can use promo code braincandy at checkout.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Mary Lou Retton.
Yes.
I hope she's okay now. She did say on like Good Morning America or whatever with Hoda that she got some health care since this happened.
Good. Let's encourage all people to just be covered. You never know.
Never know. Anyway, so I got this from a brainiac, and this is about another world record that happened. This bozo I think it was a half marathon on a frozen lake.
Oh no.
Barefoot with nothing on except like boxes.
No. No. Ah, my feet. My feet are burnt. I know what happened. He got burns on the bottom of his feet.
Cuz well, that he trained.
Ice, what like what?
He trained for it though. So like he conditioned.
What is that ice? Like I hate his guts. Like, it's like so cold, like you're gonna get frostbite.
Yeah.
And what a dummy.
This is the same kind of guy that climbs Everest, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like we get it, you're really tough. And by the way, this is his second world record. His first one was for doing the longest plank ever.
Oh, ha ha! He was just beaten by a woman.
I think he beat the woman.
No, this was just like a few days ago I saw this. And she's older.
Okay, how long was hers?
Like hours.
Okay, but check.
Okay, I'm going to, because I just saw this and it was like the woman who... Okay.
This is like, maybe they separate the men and women.
Grandmother holds the record for plank just now. 4.5 hours. She just did this.
I got bad news for you.
No, on March 27th.
I got bad news. His was 9 hours and 38 minutes. Oh, no. I think that was just
the women's.
It does say
the longest plank for a female. Fuck!
Listen, Caitlin Clark, I know you're booked solid, but could you come in and do a plank real quick for 9 hours and what, 39 minutes?
Listen, Grandma, I'm going to need you to up your I'm going to need you to double your time. I'm not talking to Caitlin anymore. I'm talking to my gal, Donna Jean Wild from Alberta, Canada, who set the record for females.
Donna, damn, this is an emergency.
And look at this little badass.
Yes, I mean, very impressed.
Oh, I thought I was so excited. I thought we were going to like get to upset 58-year-old mother of five.
Listen, she's got a lot of training to do if she wants to beat this jackass.
Yeah, she does. Fucking A.
Okay, so his name is Joseph, and...
Joseph.
Yeah, fastest marathon.
Well, my phone's talking to me. Okay, sorry.
Fastest half marathon completed barefoot on ice/snow. He did it in 1 hour, 50 minutes, and 42 seconds. He was clad in nothing but a pair of short tights and an ecstatic grin.
Oh, God. Why are we doing this?
Guess what his profession is.
Okay.
Yeah. This is a fun game.
I feel like he's a professor, a teacher, or something like that in education. What does he do?
He's a therapist.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Ah, close enough. He lectures to people. Got it.
He said he needed to show people how to manage
it's
their fears.
It's a mind over matter thing. I get it. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
And a lack of self-confidence. And I want to be like, listen, Joseph, my fear is being raped or murdered by literally any man in a parking lot. What are you going to do? What am I supposed to do with this inspiration of you running bare ass on a lake?
You know, and I am not going to go to those lengths, but I will say that as a therapist, there are things that I do where I'm thinking, like, even right now and like wanting to like get back to physical health and move my body again.
Sure.
I'm like, I'm going to do something like, not like that, but I'm going to like, I feel like set a goal for myself and then just show people like, guys, I know I talk about, we do this all the time, but I'm putting it into action. And
is
let
that
me show
what,
you
want to inspire people?
Yeah. And
that's
then I
nice.
Think at the same time you kind of inspire yourself.
Sure.
You know,
yeah,
and like
I get
need
that.
Like a reason. And it's like, yeah, I could see that.
That sounds great.
But I'm not going to be running barefoot for any length of time.
And smiling about it.
And it's just, but.
He says that he trains barefoot and every night he soaks those dogs in some ice water.
Okay. There are elements of this where I'm like, yeah, I totally get behind that. When you put it all together, I'm like, oh, I'm annoyed. But I was playing some frisbee golf last weekend, and it was right on this river, and the Poudre River, which is the most hilarious name in the whole world.
I'm
like, you're pranking me. That's not a real name. Poudre, come on. I see your pooter too. Ah, no, but that's a real name.
How and is it spelled?
P-O-U-D-R-E.
P-O-U-D-R-E.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
They
could have just pronounced it different.
Yeah, but I
like
feel
powder.
Like... Right. I think it's either Native American or French or some language that is not English that we're...
I can you imagine all these French people saying pooter all the time.
Yeah. Right. We're not saying it right. Guaranteed. Nobody in Denver pronounces or Colorado pronounces anything right. A bunch of towns that are mispronounced, if you ask me. They all call it Buena Vista. It's Buena Vista. Everybody knows that.
We have a place here called Versailles, but it's
Versailles.
It is, come but on. That's right. Not what people call it.
Yeah,
I love when white people are stupid.
So stupid. Oh, but back to what I was saying. Yes, I dipped my feet in the river, and it was like runoff from the snow. You know, it's like snow melt in the river, so it's freezing. Yeah. But I felt so good from it. I felt so like, and I was like, oh, I was annoyed. I was like,
I'm annoyed right now.
Are those fucking cold? And then I got man, if I had shorts on, I would sit in this river right now and it would feel amazing. And I'm like, oh, don't even tell me. I'm talking like one of those fucking Joe Rogan guys right now where I'm like, next thing you know, I'm going to be doing cold plunges like a fucking moron, even though it's so good for you.
Sarah's going to be a cold plunger. Yeah. Oh, no. You're going to be like on Rise and Grind Instagram. All these guys are like, no pain, no gain.
Right. Like, 5 a.m. club.
5 a.m. club.
God. What's wrong with me, Sue? So
I would hate the thinking they could be right about anything.
This is who I am in my menopausal years.
I have a touch of that. I'm going to, you know.
You're feeling it too?
Not the cold plunge, but I like try to suppress it. But it's, I think, hardwired when you grow up in that, you know, the Protestant work ethic thing of like pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Like my conservative roots are still.
Yeah.
So they're there.
Deeply embedded.
It's not all bad.
Right. It's not. And that's, I'm just annoyed when it's right. And I'm like. I'll go sit in some cold water. Fuck you.
Has anyone ever done a cold plunge without posting it?
I don't think so. My feet got in there and I was like, post.
I didn't even see up to it. The ankles. Are you serious?
Yeah, it's at the very last clip. I was like, oh this is nice. Yeah.
Damn. Like, all right. Well, but at least I'm telling. Warned.
I was like, I might fucking do this. I get it.
I mean, I should have seen this coming with the pickleball. That was the gateway drug.
Right. It's just a hop, skip, and a jump to cold plunge in. And
jump right in.
Right.
Okay. What about how much I love Thrive Cosmetics?
About the same as how much I love them.
And maybe more. Maybe more. Because I need them more.
No.
Like you, like sometimes don't wear makeup.
I don't have any on right now.
Right. And I love that for you. But...
I love that lifestyle choice that you made.
Yeah. But I was born this way. Like, I cannot go barefaced. That would be wrong. So, thank God there's Thrive Cosmetics because this stuff is fantastic. The Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner, new favorite. Yeah. I had not tried it. It's awesome. Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara is forever favorite.
And when we were... hanging out together, you saw my blush and you were like, what? I've never seen that and I don't have that.
Yeah,
and
I was mad about it.
Yeah, you were. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of the color sticks, like the little blush sticks and bronzing sticks. And I love them because they're so versatile. They have a really great blending brush on the other end. So you could, it's like everything you need right there.
Yeah.
And I love the way that you can get a really good contour line and a really fine line with the edge of it.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a good tip.
Yeah. It's so easy to use.
Yeah. I loved when you gave like on Instagram, the little tour of your makeup bag.
Yeah.
That was fun.
It was all Thrive. I'm like, people got to know.
That was awesome. Maybe for the summer or spring, you people need a little refresh of your makeup. I've seen what you're wearing. You could use some. Not you, Sarah. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Oh, yeah, because they donate products and funds to help communities thrive. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/braincandy. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/braincandy for 10% off your first order. Okay, what about, you maybe were a little bit young for this, but I bet you were a fan anyway, the Blair Witch Project.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I remember that I was too young/too scared to see it in the theaters when it came out. I was at the age where I wasn't 100% sure if it was real or fake.
Yeah.
Well, and it was the very first one of its kind in how they made that film.
Yeah, it was totally innovative.
Yes. And mm-hmm. so I honestly don't know if I've ever seen it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I'm shocked because I just thought The Witch would have grabbed
it. It was like it was too real and too scary. And mm-hmm. I have no idea. Like, I know it's like people camping in tents, right? And then Witch comes in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Nope. I do not do well with horror films that start in the place that I like to go hang out in my free time.
Right. That makes sense.
I'll take the Children of the Corn, like haunted house, like horror house kind of shit, slasher coming to the, fine. But
it would be like if murder there were
in the woods.
Right. It would be like if they did a horror movie at Chili's, and I'd be like, I can't see that.
You can't see that? It ruined Chili's?
Yeah.
Fucking A. Right. Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like. I'm like, even that hiker one. That calm, mostly harmless.
Yeah.
Even that one, I was like.
Remember a couple years ago you watched that? I think it was also about a hiker, and it was like a horror movie, and it was like, is this real?
Or? Yep. Because they freaking Netflix listed it under documentaries.
I would have been so mad and scared.
And it wasn't until I like went to go find the real story and then saw that there was a sequel. And I was like, oh, a sequel? A sequel to the documentary about the murder family? I don't think so. Oh, they're back? That's not how that goes.
That's so funny.
So stupid. So stupid. I fell for that. I fell for that, then messaged my brother and was like, holy shit. This is like, this guy's
this
out
is
there.
We cannot
go. We need to be careful. Like, you have to watch this shit. It's wild. Then he watched it and told his firefighter friends, and then they all laughed at him because it was fake.
It's almost like they have to do that now with these films because everything has been done. And so to be shocking, you have to almost lie to the viewer and tell them it's real.
Yeah.
And this was the first film to really do that. Wow. They marketed it in a way that made it unclear.
Yeah. What year did that come out?
I think it was 97. Okay. 98.
Yeah. Oh my God. Little 10-year-old Sarah terrified.
Right. No, but like I was a senior in high school and it was just like so fun because it was packed, the theater, you know, it was
in the theater?
Yeah.
Whoa. What was like that like?
Because it was that time period where movies were a big deal.
Yes.
And when they would open, it would be just like everyone from your community, all the kids your age were in this room, probably getting like some sort of disgusting cold and cough situation. And it was like interactive where you'd like, you know how horror movies can be.
Yeah. Okay. I will say that going to movies to see horror films at that time, that era.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't me being like, oh, when I was young. Like, I really do think that there was something special about the horror films from the late 80s to the maybe early 2000s.
Yeah, because it was also then that they did I See Dead People.
Yeah.
What was that one?
Yeah. Bruce Willis, M. Night Shyamalan, The Sixth Sense.
That's it.
Yeah.
She got it.
Yeah. La, 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 la.
I had no idea.
So good.
But it was that time where it was like these totally original ideas.
Yeah.
And they were freaky. Okay. But the deal with Blair Witch Project was different because these kids, they were creating an independent film. The film cost only $60,000 to make because it's all
still
handheld.
Seems like a crazy amount. Like when you're like, it costs like no money, just like $60,000. I guess it's all the parts of it, but
yeah, it's still a lot of money to a college student, but like for a big picture, it was nothing. And so it started to get buzz and a production house bought it for like $2 million, but the people who created it in the film had used their real names as the character names.
Yeah.
And this production house, which then I guess sold it to Lionsgate, they licensed everything in it. So these kids had to sue to get their names back. They weren't even allowed to use their names.
What?
In real life. Yeah.
That seems fucked up. What do you mean?
After all told, these kids only got $300,000 because they had to sue to get it and to get the use of their name. And so like after they, this guy goes, after I bought a car and paid off my debt, I was back working in like moving furniture and I was on the cover of magazines and the film made $245 million.
Oh my God.
Like I would be mad as a hornet.
Yeah. This seems very similar to what we saw in the art documentary, The Price of Everything. Where the artist sells somebody finds the art, buys it from the artist for like $60,000, and then sells it, flips it in an art auction for millions, and they get all of the they get all the money that the artist gets nothing. They get it what they originally sold it for. And
do you ever see like there was this really viral story? I don't even know when it was, but somebody cleaned out their attic and sold at a garage sale like a frame that they found in their attic for like $2.50. And then the person that bought it found an original Declaration of Independence in there.
Oh my God.
And then sold that for however much, gazillions of dollars. Yeah. And the original owner was like, not bitter because they were like, well, I got $250 for it. That's all I needed.
That would not be me.
I mean.
Nope. I feel the same. There's also a story from a few years ago where a woman was shopping at the Goodwill, found a bust that looked very old, takes it to an antique dealer. It's like a ancient, like, I don't even know where, but it's like from looted. It's from something. Yes, it's from something like Istanbul and something like definitely looted. And she ended up having to return it to the country of origin.
Why?
Because it was their property. It's like stolen artifacts. Like over, they were able to trace back.
Did they give her like a finder's fee?
I don't think so.
I would be upset.
Mm-hmm.
See, and sometimes she was giving.
I heard her telling the story in like a TED Talk kind of, not TED Talk, but like a keynote kind of presentation she was doing and talking about like, this is like part of the thrifting kind of
story. That is not part of it.
I know. I was like, I would be pissed. I would be like,
that antiquities. Ugh. I mean,
right. I get it. It should all go back to the, especially when so much stuff is stolen. Like it's all products of like war times and bad things. Like I totally get that.
But I don't. I get it, but I don't. Because I'm like, it's war.
Right.
Like, and people, I know what I'm supposed to say. Right. I know that I'm supposed to say like this whole like colonial, like white supremacy. I totally get it. But like, why aren't we talking about that about war?
Right.
In general, why is it just about the art stuff?
Yeah, let's get rid. Yeah, the war is the problem.
They're like, when you're killing people, you really shouldn't steal their art.
Or maybe don't kill people.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So I get confused when I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. Let's not steal antiquities and art. But also. Why are we murdering each other?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe somebody could clarify that for me.
Yeah.
At any rate, I feel bad for these Blair Witch people. And you might think like the declaration guy where he's like, what? I got $250 or this guy, maybe you got $300,000 and you made a profit and you did something really cool. But like, I can't make peace with like,
please. I'm barely okay with, and by barely, I mean, not, okay with knowing that streaming service is a thing now where all of our seasons and all of the show, the hundreds of episodes of television that we've been on are now available for anybody watching. You and I don't get one GD cent from that.
For real. If I even got, let's say I got $1,000 a year.
Yeah, right. Just some little like doesn't even
that
matter.
Would mean nothing to them.
Nothing.
But that would like be nice. It'd totally. Be like a tax refund kind of thing where you're yep. like, oh, this is found money or yep. mailbox money. Great. Yep.
100%. I'm with you.
And so mm-hmm. maybe I guess I do feel personally yeah. like I can relate to these poor people. Like, because like he said, he's on the cover of a magazine and he's going to work for the furniture mover as I was at Chili's Bar and Grill right. with the fajitas. Yeah. And one woman was like, well, I see you didn't do much since you were on television. Yeah.
I remember that.
And I was like,
not that for you, but that and I'm like, same comments.
18.
Right, right. Yeah. I went back to Planet Beauty, the beauty supply store that I worked at.
Did people say stuff?
Yes, of course they did. Mm-hmm. And it'd be so weird where I'm like posing for photos with the people that I'm selling stuff to at minimum wage. And then the people that they were really nice, the people I worked for, but then they had me do like, you know, videos for product demonstrations and stuff because I'm good on camera.
Right.
And did you don't anybody get any... pay? No.
Right. Right. I'm a little bitter, okay?
Yeah.
But Susie, you got to travel and do... Shut up! I'm so sick of it. Okay. See, this is why I need therapy, and that's why I need BetterHelp, and why you do too, because everyone has their stuff.
I love BetterHelp. Shout out to Sherry.
Wait, I have to say something. I have to say, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. But also, shout out to Sherry.
Yes.
yeah, we love BetterHelp. Shout out to Sherry. I should go with you sometime to see Sherry.
Yeah, I would love it. I'll be like,
hi,
this
Sherry.
This is for like character so witness. Fun. This is my character yeah. witness.
I would love that.
Yeah.
But for real, everyone has something that they need to talk about. Relationships, stress, grief, life on this earth.
Yeah.
I mean...
And setting goals, really nice. Just helping you decide what kind of things to focus mm-hmm. on.
Yeah. And it can be so beneficial and just so cleansing and just helpful.
This is going to sound silly, but yeah. therapists can even help you make a dating profile.
That is a great idea.
I wish more of my clients would say like...
What would you tell them?
Well, let's go through it. Yeah. We could be like, and, you know, you can like go through it and be like, no, maybe yeah. could we say this in a yeah. different way? What are we trying to like achieve here? What kind of people are we wanting to attract? What mm-hmm. foot are we leading with?
Yes.
Use a therapist to help you write your dating profile.
I love this idea.
Yes. I'm telling you, like we need to, they're like consultants for all this stuff. For yes. so many things.
That is a great idea.
You're welcome.
Okay. Everyone should sign up for BetterHelp and do what Sarah just said because it's so convenient. Do it from your house, wherever. You don't have to go anywhere you don't have to go to a therapist's office. And these are licensed therapists. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BrainCandy today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BrainCandy. And as always, all of our partners are on our website. If you forget one, you just check them out. And every time you use any of our partners, it helps us so much. And I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to the BetterHelp, to the Blair Witch people. I hope they get what's theirs and like a little bit of appreciation.
Yeah.
Okay. I am curious about this. There was a study done. European researchers analyzed the words in more than 12,000 English language songs across.
Okay.
Rap, country, pop, R&B, and rock from 1980 to 2020.
Okay.
To see what has changed. And song lyrics are getting simpler, mm-hmm. more repetitive,
yes,
angrier, and more self-obsessed.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Totally makes sense.
And for you, you see this as just like it's a reflection of society?
Mm.
Or what?
No, I think it is I don't know about the angry part, but I think the music that is mainstream and that gets listened to and consumed on a mass scale meets that algorithm for good music, you know, that it's more of the... how songs are created now and that song factor, that hit factory kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because I bet if you discluded, is that the right word? Why is
excluded.
It sound weird? Excluded. Right. Yeah. I was like, what? That I just made something up. If you excluded all of the, I don't know, maybe like top 2000 most popular songs.
Yeah.
And you looked at the other ones. I wonder if that, like, more
that's
of like the
question.
Artist, you know, versus mm-hmm. the label or the mm-hmm. producers, the production mm-hmm. of it.
Yeah. So you think they're just maximizing the factors that will make yes. it playable on streaming? Yeah. And
because The Weeknd is great, but there is nothing so phenomenal about The Weeknd that his songs are like 5 of the top 10 of all of Spotify's songs. I think it's what kind of song it is, how that song sound, like the formula of the song.
Wow. I love that you had a specific example.
Yeah, because I just played this game with your son in the car where we played the game of who has more Spotify listens, this artist or this artist. And my answer was always, The Weeknd is going to win every time, Lincoln.
We do enjoy this game because the answers may surprise you. Like, even we will do like Beethoven or Bach.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Which, and it's, you just wonder why.
Right.
But.
Yeah, he was trying to catch me and trick me on some. And I was like, nope, The Weeknd.
Even if that wasn't one of the choices, right. You choose it. Yeah. And the one theory they had was that, especially recently, music has become more of a background thing.
Yes, it's a soundtrack to TikToks.
Oh, they were framing it as just like when we go about our lives, sort of like how people have TV on in the background.
Okay,
while you're on
your
phone.
Tell me this word or did somebody else? They called it cinematic audio or something like that. It's cinematic something, but it's music that sounds like it could be the soundtrack to a moment. And it's a very specific, and it works perfect for TikTok videos, for your Instagram reel, for it's the stuff that goes viral and is trending audio. And there's a sound to it that I'll find one of the songs that I think is there's a song by an artist, I think her name's called Little Sims. And it is a perfect example of this. And when I hear it, I'm like, this is like the I could walk into it. This is a soundtrack right now.
So people keep their ear. Are they called earbuds? What are they called?
Earbuds. Call it that.
What are they actually called? The little white things.
Airbuds.
People keep. Airbuds?
Well, AirPods. AirPods.
AirPods.
I don't know. They're earbuds.
I just.
Headphones?
Stop saying words.
I mean, all of those are the right answer.
Like the Apple ones in the little white case that everyone has.
AirBuds. No, AirPods. I don't fucking know anymore. Now I've said too many things. I don't know which is right.
AirPods,
I think it's AirPods. It's AirPods. At any rate, AirPods. Pods. It makes
people
sense.
Keep those in all the time. You know, we've talked about this on the show. It's like to keep the world out. And so you're telling me that they basically create a movie soundtrack to their life that they hear and they think it's like.
Yeah. Okay. Can I play a clip from a song on
you? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna play this and you can.
Legally. And that's a hit single or what?
It's all over Instagram.
What's it called?
It's called Gorilla by Little Sims. But that intro, that.
Do you know who Little Sims is?
Yes. Well, I mean, I know her after I loved this song, and now I really like
you
her
love
music.
You love this song.
Love that song.
Okay, I didn't know that
and,
you were saying that.
And, but there's something about, like, the that intro that, like, it sounds like.
Yeah, movie.
Movie. Mm-hmm. It sounds somatic, like. Cinematic.
Cinematic. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what's wrong with my words today. I can't talk.
Well, cinematic. And, I mean, this is not the same thing, but it's in the same category where they're making all the frames of films. Everything, all the action happens in the very, very center of the movie screen so that people can put it on TikTok.
Oh, so you can do... Oh, my God!
Yeah.
I mean, it's a natural evolution of a media. I totally get that. But when you become aware of it and you see it, it's kind of like how I watched the last Harry Potter, where I saw it through the lens of, oh, they're developing a ride at Universal and they need a scene that is going to go like that makes that ride make sense. And that's why this scene was created and why it feels so like over the top and unnecessary. Mm-hmm. And it's like the music is kind of doing the same, but I like it. I mean, it's fine. There's a lot of it that I like, but I am seeing this change where people are trying to have these very usable clips there's a focus on just a 30-second thing, which I could see why it becomes then repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
And right. then with streaming, you get more, you get paid for how many times it streams. So the length of song is now cut way down and we're just like repeating the same verses.
Well, they've removed intros. They just usually start singing right away. That song had an intro that you played, but more and more songs don't have any intro at all.
And it's almost like the only reason that intro is that part that is the cinematic piece, that if it weren't that, then it probably would go right into the lyrics.
Yeah, it could be repurposed.
Yeah.
Right.
So interesting to look at.
But like I guess the part that does make me bummed out, most of it doesn't matter. It's just stylistic, but the literacy of the songs is declining. I don't love that. You know, like Bob Dylan wouldn't stand a chance in, you know, current music industry. They would be like, I'm sorry, what? Not only because he mumbles, but also because...
It's okay, that was very funny. And
Thank you.
Oh, that was very sneaky.
But
that was a good joke.
I'm not a huge Bob Dylan fan, but he's a poet.
Right.
And
it's
won,
they're there, and I see amazing artists and writers and some songs where the lyrics are so good, but they're not what is popular, what's played, what's in like the top streaming stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're more the indie artists. It's it's extremes now.
Yeah, the industry's so different.
Yeah.
But you know what? What one thing in this survey was interesting to me was that, first of all, it said that rap is the angriest and angrier than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then it said that rock fans are the most likely to Google the lyrics, which is made me laugh because it's classic, but they're Googling old song lyrics. Like new rock is just like not a really big draw right now. Mm-hmm. It's all the legacy artists, you know, Rolling Stones or whatever. That intrigued me, and I wondered why rock was declining in music.
Okay, let's play that game.
Yeah.
I think it's the change in live performances.
Oh.
I think that people used to come to a rock show and that would be like blow your mind, like the music, it was like that stage performance. And now I think that we expect almost like a theatrical kind of performance. So that I see like pop stars and like a lot of like electronic music and things that have like a lot of visuals, like the live shows are a lot of EDM and like things
effects.
Where they can, a lot of effects. And I think that the live music stage does not match the live music scene now does not match the rock and rock vibe, you know? And I don't know where the change happened or when. Maybe it was the price of tickets increased, so now people expect like a bigger stage show. Like I think that's a lot of it. It's like I don't want to go and pay this much for just the band to just be up there. It needs to be more. And I remember when like Beck started having a visual DJ on stage. I went to see one of his shows when I was like 15 years old, and he had a DJ there that would spin visual, like would
that's cool,
and like make the visuals to the art. It was the first time I'd ever seen something like that. Mm-hmm. And after seeing that, I was like, I'm not gonna go to a regular show. I'm not gonna go to one where I can't see this. That's so mm-hmm. cool. And I maybe this is just Sarah's got a theory,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like it's a transition away from the musician playing the instrument to a performance of a like soundtrack. Synthesized song, like, mm-hmm. like, you know?
Yeah.
And there are a few people who are exceptions there. And then when we see them, we're like, holy crap, you're amazing. John Batiste is, but he's not as mainstream or as popular. It's, mm-hmm. I don't, sometimes some of the country ones will, because they got the guitar and it's like they, a little more, like stripped down, I guess.
I mean, there are some like Brandi Carlile and like Mandy yes. Rogers and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I guess just overall, not so much, but I don't know. It's interesting. And I don't, like you said, I don't want to be like when I was your age,
right.
Cause things change, technology changes, tastes change. But the literacy, not great.
Yeah. If you hear rumbling, my stomach is growling and it's so loud. So if you hear, I don't know why. I mean, maybe because I'm hungry, but like, it's so loud.
I don't know what it could
like,
be.
I don't know why.
That is classic Sarah though, because you do have trouble like realizing you're thirsty and stuff.
Yes. Yep.
It's classic.
Yep. Which is why I'm getting an ADA dog. Why I'm going to get a yeah, dog
Sarah
that's going to be trained
some assistance, for, I think.
To be like, have some lunch.
All right. Well, we'll wind it down so you can have some lunch. I support your beach Moana fantasy.
Yeah.
Let's make that happen.
Let's do it.
Fly fishing, maybe hold off.
Yeah. Oh, I guess right. I got to look up that story of the fly fishing heist.
If you are in the mood for like a tearjerker or just sentimentality, I do recommend. It's called Who Are You, Charlie Brown? I think that's what it's called. The Charles Schulz documentary. And then we just learned about some record breakers. Shizzo, we loved that.
Yeah. The longest. I'm all about the slowest, or the last, the finish. So that's a good.
The booby prize.
Yes.
We do not want Sarah to be a cold plunger. I think we can all agree on that. And we all agree that Blair Witch people, maybe give them a couple bucks.
Yeah. Come on. Okay. They had to sue for their own names back. That's insane.
Yeah. All right, everybody.
Good story, Suze.
Thanks, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.